Hey, trader, want to get rich quick? Well, good luck with that. If, on the other hand, you actually want to learn how to trade, the place to be is www.cfrn.net. Tune in Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern, for our daily devotional, and then spend the next 3 hours learning how it's done from professional traders who actually trade for a living. That's www.cfrn.net. Every trading day from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living.
You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.
Welcome to Prosperity for God's People, brought to you by ChristianTraders.com, the Internet's fastest growing Christian investment community, created just for you, the Christian investor.
Everybody's happy.
Striving for excellence in Christian talk radio, excellence in the world financial markets, and most of all, excellence in your personal walk with God.
Broadcasting live
from the CFRN studios in beautiful downtown Phoenix, Arizona.
Friends, and welcome. Hope you had a great weekend. Today is Monday, 7th day of March, 2011. Let's have a quick look at the numbers. The Dow is down 84 points. S&P is off by 12. Comp is down 48. All right, let's see what happened so far today. Well, there you go. All right, let's go back to Friday. Friday afternoon, I was sitting in a Starbucks at an undisclosed location with one of the CFRN partners, Mr. Jeff Kay. We were huddled over a laptop, and we were watching the market. We weren't watching this particular chart, though. When I came home after the fact and looked at the chart, I was like, We had a little short trade on going this way, but what actually moved was this. And what I want to point out here is this, okay, dynamic support. We know we had traded up through dynamic resistance on Thursday. We were looking for dynamic support. We finally caught it Friday afternoon right here, okay, and it held nicely. Could have entered there, or there, or there, or even there. The closest you ever got was right there. Okay, so here's the Sunday night open. We opened up in the 1321/1322 weekly trading zone. Okay, Michael, hang on. Let me get Michael in here. Organizer status. Oh, you already are. Oh, good morning, Michael. Or good afternoon. Anyway, he's here. All right. So, here's the Sunday night open. We opened right in the 21/22 weekly trading zone. Now, keep in mind, if you look left, these zones are only from Sunday night moving right. They have nothing to do with last week. It's different zones. A little confusing. I should figure a way to chop that off right there. Okay, Michael. Well, it says you're a staff. Nope. I'm sorry. That's not you. That's David. All right. Michael. Here we go. now you're good. Okay. Okay, so we drew down to 13-14 on the Sunday night session Globex held. And we know as soon as we print this first dynamic support, we're now hunting for dynamic resistance. That's just the way it works. So we run up to 31-32 on the open Sunday night, last night. Pull back to 14. We make a run at the 21-22. We take it out, and we find dynamic resistance at 13.26 1/4 pre-market today. Now, we were watching this area. This is the opening hourly candle right here. We ran up. We tagged dynamic resistance, spiked it by a tick or two. What was the high on that candle? The high, 27 1/4. Okay, we actually spiked it by all of a point, 4 ticks. Okay. And now the rest, as you can see, we sold right off. And now from the moment we printed this dynamic resistance, we're watching for dynamic support. Now we don't expect it to come on the next candle, although from here to here. You see how that played out? So we're down at this 1309/1310 weekly trading zone. We'll get another hourly candle in 21 minutes, roughly. Could we see dynamic support print here? We could. No sense trying to second guess it. We'll just wait and see. And if we do print dynamic support down in this area, then on a smaller time frame, we'll look for some type of entry to be long from that area. If and when we find dynamic support. Here's how it looks on the 30-minute chart. This morning, there was a bullish cross. In the process of a bearish cross right here, but the move was from zone to zone. Now this is the 10K chart. This is volume. 10,000 contracts per candle. Now when we came down this morning, after the open, here's the open at 8:30. Okay, we'll push to the upside, a lower high. We come back into the zone looking for support. 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100,000 contracts exchange hands right here. We try to make the break to the upside. We fail right here. Okay. The only thing from turning this into a long trade is this right here. Okay, we roll over and we go from the 21-22 zone all the way down to the 1309/1310 zone. That's a 11-point move from here at 21 to 1310, and really a nice move. Get a little pullback here, drop, pullback, and drop, pullback, and drop. Now, what's different? What's different? Price is now on the other side. So, are we going to get a move up? No. We won't be too quick to judge. Had a powerful momentum move down, dropped 11 points. Let's go back and look at Friday again. Friday, the low of Friday was 13.11 1/4. So we talked about this in the live training room this morning, that as we come down into the zone, we have a couple things saying that this is potential area of support. One was Friday's low, 13.11 1/4. We already took that out. The next thing would be the 1309-1310 weekly trading zone. If that doesn't hold, then we've got another zone below us. But first, let's see if it's going to hold or at least attempt to hold. Okay. Michael, are you there?
I am here.
Okay, just checking.
Yes.
You've been awful quiet.
I'm sorry.
No, I just mean...
Just listening.
Just... Usually when you're there, we know you're there.
I just had a sneezing fit, so you missed that. No, I am definitely here. And remember, I switched my mic around last week, so you don't hear me popping in and out.
Yeah, it doesn't make that noise. Now, we got thrown a little curve this morning, which is really rare on the sentiment indicator. If you... For those of you who have the indicators, you can scroll back and you'll see that from the beginning of the year, this happening is pretty rare. Okay, price got up just high, and this red line here on the 7-minute chart, on the sentiment chart, is reflective of this dynamic resistance on the hourly chart. So there it is, right there. And we hit it. Tested it a couple times, and then right here when we closed back below, there it is. So now we could rally all the way up to 1316, and still be bearish. We need to trade above 16. We need to really trade above 17 for this thing to change. Okay, so. Can that, you know, sometimes it looks a little too easy, a little too magical and fantasical. This is reality. This can happen. So that's why we don't trade in a vacuum and we don't trade just off the sentiment chart. Sometimes it looks like, man, why do you even need anything else? Well, there's a good reason. Good enough. All right, let's jump to the YM real quick. And we are, well, Michael, we kept talking about, could we get down to that 50-55 zone? We got close.
Yeah, we got pretty close to it.
We get to 70, the low is 67. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we had some really nice trades today in the live trading room. Michael was at the helm. And here, let me shrink all this down a little bit.
There were a couple more after we closed up the live trading room too. Well, it was a couple.
All right, I'm just gonna have to open this up so I can see what I'm doing. And we'll just walk through them. Okay. Now this one we missed because I was fiddling around with the ES on the 2100. We were looking for a potential short. And I'll just go ahead and point out that we didn't get into that short because as we were about to enter it, we got some dynamic support printing in a smaller time frame, and so we just passed on that entry. And ultimately, you know, it went on to do what it did. But we had our reason for being out. But while we were distracted by that, this entry presented itself here, which we did not take in the trading room. Then this entry presented itself, which we did not take. This entry on the short side didn't quite qualify. And then this entry didn't qualify over here for a couple of reasons. If you want to elaborate on the reasons it didn't qualify, Michael.
Well, first of all, it was going into the weekly trading zone. We didn't want
that's
to get
the,
short
that's
into
the main
the zone.
Thing, yeah.
That was enough.
Yeah. The fact that, I mean, the pullback was before we got our cross. So, but then we had the cross, we made it through the zone, and so I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Michael, this is the one you took live in the room here.
Mm-hmm.
That
yep,
one
was
good
the first
for
one.
20 points, and then you took this one.
Yep, I took that one for 20.
Which was also good for 20 points.
And I took the next one for 5. The one after that for 1. Actually, yeah, slide that arrow over about 10 bars.
About 10 bars?
Yeah, to the left. Or you can just grab
to the left?
Yeah. All right, over there. I took that one. I think I took that one for 5 points. And the next one...
you moved your stop to break even and a tick.
Yep, break even and a tick. And then I believe we were just about done.
So 20 here, 20 here, 5 here, and 1 here.
And 1 there. Yep. So I had 46 in that time frame. And then there were a couple more after that, you can see right there.
Now, for those of you that aren't familiar with the YM, it is the Dow E-mini Futures. 20 points on the YM is equivalent, dollar-wise, to 2 points on the ES. Or, let me say it this way, 1 point on the ES is $50. 10 points on the YM is $50. 2 points on the ES is $100, based on one contract. 20 points on the YM, based on one contract, is $100. And the two tend to move pretty much in lockstep. Here's 30-minute on the YM. This is what you're looking at, today's action. Now let's go to the ES. Here, I can stretch it and make it look a little more like each other. So we just hit the zone here. But we haven't quite got there. Quite got there yet on the YM. So those were the trades that we took live, and then there was another setup that came in here, and then another one came in here. And that's about it. Now, let's have a look at gold real quick. Well, we'll wait till, you know what, we'll wait on the 6E and the gold David comes in, because I know he'll want to talk about those. But gold had a pretty nice move down. It came right down to our weekly zone at 1428, which I failed to email to the partners and those on the free trial. So I will send those out in an email later today. And then on the 6E, those zones did go out. We traded, right now we're sitting right in the 975, 980 weekly trading zone. And we traded the overnight. We came up from here right up to this zone. Spiked above it just a little bit. And we crossed back below. This was a nice trade. Back down to the zone below us. Is that Mike Reed out here?
Hi, Dwayne.
How are you, buddy?
Yeah. I don't want to interrupt. How you doing?
No. I'm glad you made it. How's your weekend?
Fair. you know, I'm a big Boilermaker fan. Had a bad loss on the weekend, but it didn't, nothing earth-shattering.
I didn't know you were a drinking man, Mike.
No. Purdue Boilermakers. yeah. Now that's the olden days. Let's see here. We had pretty good action this morning right off the bat. The small gap, and then it stalled out. Then after they pulled back and filled the gap, which we had less than a 4-point gap on the Monday. And so that had higher odds of being filled today. after they filled the gap, they went right back. They went back through the last trap, and it was under the 1324 level, and that was a pivotal spot in itself for us. And we got instant gratification on the next 5 minute bar, and this stayed with updating our resistance on the way down until we got down to our cover zone, which is at 07.5, 06.5, and so far, good morning. Good way to start the week.
Yeah, we had a good morning too as well.
I assume you got your goal also?
Yeah, we did.
Okay.
Pretty early on. Yeah, it was a nice move down, and
Let me see. Bring your chart up.
Well, this is the ES here, but we were actually trading the YM this morning.
Oh, okay.
But the move, I mean, you know, it was kind of the same on the...
Yeah.
Kind of on what you were talking about. Here's where that move really got started. It was right here at the 21-22 weekly zone.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
And it traded down to this 1309, 1310. And now it looked like we're trying to firm up here to go higher, but we're already getting some dynamic resistance printing right there. At 1311,
that was old support last week.
I was just going to say, the low of the day on Friday was 1311.25. Now we just printed dynamic resistance at 1311.25.
Yeah.
So this move down may not be over, folks. What kind of numbers do you have on the downside, Mike? You got anything down below that you're looking for?
The next level is that 1302 area, and then 1298-97 area.
Okay.
The bounces have been 3 to 4 points, not much on the upside. They have to break that symmetry. Let's see. So, yeah. 7.25 low. Yeah, they haven't even had a 4 point bounce yet. So the first bounce, I think, was like 3 points, 2.5 or 3 points. But they have their heads underwater here, under 1311.5 area. I had to get back over that to break downside momentum. The pattern started out the day. The pattern wasn't good at all, and then I told them that that's how our short set up. But anyhow, this is kind of a similar look. It's, they're not able to hold on bounces now. But on the other hand, you know, the market's been, this has been getting used to, like, coming back after every pullback. They come roaring back here lately, and when that doesn't happen, it can turn kind of nasty, I think. I know that, personally, the way the market's acted, it's just better off to wait for a decent bounce, or they have one, and then the odds are better on the short side, in my opinion. Up, you know, a good bounce, like up near the highs of today's area, you get back up in there and stall out. Well, it's kind of turned into the opposite.
Do you see the potential to even get back up that high today?
Oh, I'd be surprised, but the market surprised me on the upside before, so.
Yeah, I know that feeling.
Just in case. Right now, you know, a bounce. Lunchtime, you know, they oftentimes can make a higher low and waffle around until around 1 o'clock. I think we'll kind of hold off until then, aside from maybe a scalp or something, but. No, I think if they do bounce up and they get over 1311, they can take some pressure off but not get much farther. The next spot on a bounce is 13, 14 and a half. 14 and a half to 15 area. They worked up to that area and were to stall out again.
That 14 was so short on the Globex last night, Mike. That 14 area. Right there. That's what you said, right? 14, 14 and a half?
Yeah, there it is. Mm-hmm.
Right there. So. Okay.
Yep. It's usually on the charts, Dwayne, in my number, so you know you can... It's where real people were involved at a turning point, and...
Yeah, I mean, there were people that were ready and willing last night.
Not my people,
but... There were people ready and willing to buy them at 14 last night, but just not today.
Yeah. And now the ones that were ready and willing and did buy them and didn't take profits, but they're still holding on.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, all stubborn out, they're going to go higher, right? And so now they're underwater, and I'll put in a barrier for assistance.
So any move back to this 14, what you're saying is these people, they got long here and are still long. As price comes back to 14, there'll be people jumping ship. Correct. Yeah. Is that what you're saying, Mike?
And you might also have new longs who are trying to buy that area and decide, I don't need a stop or anything because they always come back. They might think otherwise. But market's really acting heavy. It doesn't have any kind of bounces with any gusto at all yet. You know, it's, we're not crashing, but it's like well contained Chinese water torture or whatever.
At least we have some movement.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a nice move. Good range. From 26 down to 08. I mean,
we had a 20 point range before it came on. 20 point range on the ES and 53 and a half on the NQs.
All right, let's pop Mr. Williams in here and see what he's got to say about this market today. Good morning, David.
Dwayne's doing pretty well, David.
Okay, thank you. If somebody would just speak for Dwayne, I'd appreciate that.
He's a little slow.
No, I turned the volume down on the... okay. Anyway, it's a whole long, big explanation. You don't know what I need to know.
So. Thank you, Michael. I appreciate it. I appreciate
that's okay. I knew you were left hanging there. I figured Dwayne couldn't hear you.
I couldn't.
I could have gone numerous directions with that, but I chose...
I was trying to fade the song, and I faded myself, so...
Oh, okay. All right. Well, how's everyone? I see Mike Reed's on with
us.
Good morning, Mike.
Hello, David.
How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thanks very much. Michael Bork of Star Trek fame. How are you?
I'm all right. I'm all right. Thank you.
That's good. And David, you know, Williams. Why don't I ever let you? Why I never let you off the hook? I don't know why that is. There's something about you're too fun. I don't know what it is. There's something fun about that.
All right.
Anyway, all out of love.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure it is.
Oh, it is. Believe me.
I'm all out of love. I'm so lost without you. Okay, yeah, a different song.
Thank you, Dwayne. All right.
All out of love. Get it? No. All right.
Yes.
Never mind.
Well, Well, boy, we have a lot going on. You know, gas prices are going up. For your listeners who were planning on purchasing, you know, high-powered sports cars and things like that, they may want to wait a little bit here because I don't know if your area, Michael, because we have a pretty diverse area of the country here with Dwayne in Arizona. Michael, are you in Illinois, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh?
Boston.
Where are you?
Boston,
Boston. Sorry. What are your gas prices like there?
They're about $3.60, something like
that. Is that for super unleaded or is that for...
No, that's for regular unleaded.
Okay. Yeah, we're starting to move up too. And Dwayne, what about you?
Oh, we're around $3.50.
Okay.
$4.16.
Is that what you're getting, Mike?
Yeah.
Really?
Wow.
So I saw last time.
And where do you live? What area?
Indiana.
Indiana. Okay. Wow.
That's
Chicago's
a huge.
$3.95, almost $4.
Wow.
Maybe it is $4 now.
Yeah.
I think it was a high. The high was there.
We're probably going to see higher prices coming here with regard to gas. So, you know, for those of you who that means something to, which it means something to everybody because nobody wants to. It's funny, people will, this is a great thing out here in Las Vegas, people will gamble till their heart's content. They'll throw away money at tables where the odds are completely against them. Over time, because time is what the enemy of the customer in a hotel is time.
That's why there's no clocks.
What's that?
That's why there's no clocks.
That's why there's no clocks. That's why there's pretty girls that are scantily clad offering you drinks, because the longer you sit there, the odds are swayed heavily in the hotel's favor. So the game is designed to keep, their game is designed to keep you there. Anyway, these same people are going to be the ones that scream the loudest about the gas prices going up. But they'll throw away 50 times what the gas price is going up, you know, that difference is, at a casino all day long. And nobody wants to pay higher gas prices. It's just the nature of booms and busts that we're in, probably crude's last hurrah, you know, before the big electric, which still may take many, many years to really get into full swing. But, and there's going to be a need for crude oil for many, many different things other than gasoline. But the fact is that we're probably witnessing, kind of just in a general sense, the last hurrah for crude oil. So whatever they want to do here on the upside, and then with the Middle East and everything else, everything that everybody already knows, that creates all this uncertainty. And we'll see how it plays out in the end. But I wouldn't be surprised to see substantially higher gasoline prices. I don't think anybody would at this point.
The last time in Phoenix, they went up over $4. The thing I remember the most about that, other than the pain, of course, you feel at the pump when you got to fill up your car, was people who owned Hummers and other such vehicles that, you know, are not gas friendly, and they were practically giving them away. Even dealerships that had Hummers on their lots. I mean, you could get a Hummer like fully loaded with, you know, all the toys for $20,000. I mean,
no,
nobody
really?
Nobody wanted to own that thing because it cost you, I don't know what it cost to fill it up. I don't know how big the tank is, but I know I have a Nissan pickup truck and it was over $60 to fill that thing up.
Mm-hmm.
So I can only imagine with a Hummer it had to be at least $100, I would think. I mean, practically giving them away. And I remember mentioning to my wife, you know, maybe we should just, like, buy one. And she's like, no, are you kidding? We get killed with the gas. I'm like, well, maybe the gas won't be this much forever. And then it wasn't very long before, I don't remember exactly how long, but pretty soon gas was just back over $2.
Yeah. That's true. But you know what? If you've ever driven a Hummer, for those of you...
I've never ridden in one. I never have.
Yeah. It's not exactly maybe for certain kind of guys that, you know, maybe they like that feeling, but it's extremely heavy. It feels labored, you know, as you're driving it. It doesn't feel light and spirited. It's just a labored feeling vehicle. It really, you know, I don't know. There's not a lot to it for me. So you might, you know, they're no longer even making them,
no,
of course.
No, they're not.
They're sort of labored.
types of things when you drive them around. You really never really feel like you're getting out of your own way, you know. Anyway, so what a world, you know. Just things are just spinning wobbly out of control. The Middle East is right in the center, as it has been so many times. Now, I don't know, I haven't watched the news this weekend, but I don't know if Muammar Gaddafi is still, you know, running things out there. But chances are, you know, you never know. These guys, they will fight to the death. I was surprised at how fast the previous guy in Egypt had stepped down. You know, he just quickly got out of there, and that's not the norm. Normally, these people will fight to the death, and they'll kill their own people. All the things we're seeing, in order to hold on to power, while singing the praises of how much everyone, you know, loves them and needs them and all that stuff.
I mean, the guy in Egypt, he's arguably the wealthiest man on the planet.
Possibly. They retracted a little bit of that.
Even if he's only got
in the billions and billions, though, which is a lot of money.
Okay, let's say he's only got half that much, you know,
right.
and he's in his 80s. I mean, my goodness, wouldn't you want a little peace and quiet? I don't know, just, you know, give me a swimming pool and maybe a drink with an umbrella in it and, you know, a good book to read. I mean, I'm in my 80s. I have more money than I can. If I go on a rampage, I can't spend it all before I die.
Unless you're Mike Tyson, but
unless
please go ahead.
Hey, I read an interview with him over the weekend. I think it was in the New Yorker magazine. I'm sure you can find it online. And he's really changed. I mean,
he sounds surprisingly sane.
Sane and very intelligent.
He was bright. He's always been bright. He was actually very interested in the history of boxing. You know, go ahead.
Yeah, he was talking about some of the books that he's reading, and when he ordered his lunch, he was ordering some very healthy food, and guys, just if you Google recent interview Mike Tyson, it'll pop up the article. I think it was the New Yorker magazine or the New York Times magazine, one of the two.
When I'm ordering lunch, to help impress people, to make them think that I'm really smart and stuff, I'll sometimes order like a Coke, you know, like a drink or something, but I'll tell them how much I want it pressurized. I'll have a Coke. Do you have that at 1350 PSI? Just the carbonation, please. Thank you. And people are usually generally impressed with that. Go ahead, Mike. Did you have something to say?
I was going to say Tyson's back into homing bird racing. And
homing
stuff.
Pigeons, yeah.
Yeah. There's a show on Animal Planet, I believe. Tyson on Tyson, I think it's called. Anyhow, it's pretty interesting. I followed him back in the day when he was coming up, Custom Auto, and lady that raised him.
It was a great story. It was a great story. It really was. It was very compelling. He was a great fighter for a while. I mean, he was kind of a one-trick pony, but he did that trick really, really well, and he had a very menacing psychological thing that really devastated people psychologically before they would get into the ring. And so they're already starting off on a weak foot, and it was very, very good. But later, you know, people who could box better, you know, and everybody has their day, you know, everybody has their run, and he had it. It's amazing, though, to me that he is still around, and thankfully for him, he may have a TV special out of this or, you know, be able to, you know, resurge in his career a little bit, which would be nice, you know, for him.
A reality.
What's that, Bert?
All I need is a reality show or Dancing with the Stars, and you're good to go.
Yeah, you're good to go then. I mean, Mike Tyson on Dancing to the Stars, that's a winner.
True.
Anyway. Let's
okay, see. David.
Yes,
where's
Michael?
The S&P going here? I need to make a move, so...
Oh, well, there you go. You just ask me. I know it all, don't I? Let me go take a look. We have a couple things. This is
Bob makes a good point. He says, yeah, eating your ear, that would be intimidating.
That is. Well, that was later. The eating of the ear was later. He was intimidating before eating the person's ear. But after eating the person's ear, then it was starting to get a little freaky at that point. You know.
Yeah, but the person's ear he ate, Evander Holyfield, still thinks he can box as a 52-year-old man, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's that George Foreman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But George can still make griddles, so I'm not sure he can.
George is good on the grill. He's not bad. Okay, listen, here's a couple things. Forget today for just a minute. Close your eyes. Clear your mind of all thoughts.
Click your heels three times.
That was fast. No, what I want to do is tell you that putting today aside just momentarily, we have an important March 10th turning point, which is going to be a very sharp reversal of approximately 30 points immediately. So that's the first thing that's coming up that we want to remember just from today forward. You know, we got plenty of trades or plenty of potential setups and things between now and the 30th. Oh, excuse me, now and the 10th. But what's today's date is the 7th, so mm-hmm. we just have 3 days. And so you want to keep an eye out for that. And as we approach that date, we'll talk about it. There's a lot of things setting up in the S&P on that date. So that's one. You asked where are we going. That's one important piece right there. You had mentioned some numbers earlier, Mike. I was listening to you when you were talking to Duane a little earlier. And those numbers are good enough, you know, on the downside to take a trade off of if the market continues down. We do have a roadmap setting up for today as well. But unfortunately, it's later. It's quite a bit later in the session. Actually, it's the last hour of today. And that's unfortunate because when the roadmap's set up at the last hour, that means you have to make your decision and trade on the overnight, which, Mike, I don't know if you trade on the overnight or not. Do you?
Occasionally, yeah.
Okay.
I have a number of signals, except for the last round of buy signals, Wayne. Anyhow.
Well,
yeah.
No, that's funny.
Okay. Things are lined up, yeah.
When things are lined up, yeah. And I will as well, especially if things are lined up. I mean, especially if the trade, for me particularly, I like it if I can get a lead in the trade, which you can't always do that, but if you can get a lead in it, meaning that you've bought it at a price and they close, let's just say 3 points above your entry, which gives you a little bit of a lead in the trade, and then you can place your stop appropriately below and try to manage that trade up to a nice opening, you know, the other direction. So, we have that in today's final hour, and that's for a decent reversal as well. So I don't have all the information on that right now because we haven't actually, it's so far out, we haven't put it together yet. But let me see if there's anything else on the S&P. And by the way, you know, for people who are following the program, there are some truly great setups and trades in some of the markets that Duane and Mike, Michael Bork are trading in, the euro, the gold, what's the other ones?
Soybeans,
thank you.
NASDAQ.
NASDAQ, thank you.
Dow.
What's my name? David Williams. Okay.
Dow.
All right. Wake me up out of this. Andy M. It's just the group of you. I see myself waking up on a bed, and it's just Duane, Michael Bork, Mike Reeves, Mike, and Bert standing around the window like in, what's that show, Wizard of Oz? When she wakes up on the bed, and it's just you guys, and I've been out floating around in the... All right, I'll shut up. I was just trying to take that story. All of you there had to be there. Okay. One other thing that is setting up, though, for today, Mike Reed, is that we do have an hourly roadmap potentially for today's, the following hour, the hour that we're in the fourth hour now, with the fifth hour for today. Now, that particular one is likely going to be a bottom, and we're in the fourth hour now, which is one unit early for this. In other words, so we're already in the time frame where we want to be looking for a bottom so that we can get a reversal off of this and trade it. Now, with today's, given today's movement, I think it would be wise to trade for an approximate 6 to 7 point gain off of the bottom that they make. So I'd like to see a little further test in our support and resistance panel. We have 1307, which is one of the initial levels, and then 1305, it's like 7/5. If we were to firm up at these levels here, especially in the fifth hour, then I would be very interested in buying that reversal for an approximate 6 to 7 point, you know, minimum anyway, initial advance. So that would be, you know, if you ask me, that would be something that I'd be interested in doing. So we have a roadmap at the late end of the day. We have the March 10th turn for a 30-point reversal or so right in that area. And then we have the fifth hour of today, which is where we're about to start right now. So I know that's a lot of little bits and pieces, but the fifth hour is the first one that I think we could really take advantage of if they bottom at some of the numbers you mentioned, Mike, and any of them. Go ahead, please.
No, that makes sense. That's the way the market's acting it.
Okay. So it's doable. It's doable. And if I was in that trade, if I had gotten in at a decent price, I would actually hold for a larger reversal than that. But for the time being, I wouldn't I would definitely want to get out at the 6-point level off of the then current bottom, if that is how it plays out here. So that's kind of what we're that would be the next kind of setup for me. So we're in the 1 hour early right now for that potential bottom, and we'll see how the rest of the day plays out. But that's something that we haven't even messaged that to our subscribers yet, because I want to wait for a little bit longer to see if we can break to a little bit lower lows here. Now, real quick, if I have just one more minute here, I know we have everybody on, and I don't want to hog all the time, even though that's what I do every day from 9 o'clock on. I'd like to talk a little bit about soybeans. We had forecast in the weekend report that soybeans was going to reverse into, in other words, it's been going up, and it was going to reverse into March 8th, and it was going to go down from 1424, which was a target we had, down to 1395 minimum. And today they've already done that. They did the reversal, 1395. This is a spatial relationship setup. So the market should have turned on Friday, which it did, and then it should go down to $13.95, which it did. And then, this is the big one, okay, for those of you who follow soybeans, you know that back on March 1st, prior to March 1st, we forecast that it would bottom and it would advance 72 cents. That's $3,600 per contract off of that low. And it went from 1353 or whatever the low was, up to 1425, which is 72 cents. That reversal is underway now. The next move is due on March 8th. And for those of you who may not consider trading in soybeans, and Mike Reed, I don't know if you trade in soybeans at all. Do you? Or is that something that you...
I think one time in my life, then.
Okay. Well, would you do it one more time just for all of us? I mean, I know it's probably a struggle, but here's what I'd like you to do. Take a look at your charts. Soybeans should make a bottom on March 8th. That's tomorrow. Today, it's plus or minus one day. And there will be a reversal of 36 cents off that low. Would you like to make 36 cents, Mike? I don't know if that's that interesting.
Let's do that, David.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, I'm going to look at that. You say tomorrow?
Well, it's today, or it's basically the on-time day is tomorrow for the bottom. And this is for, of course, the listeners as well. It's not just for Mike Reed. But we're talking about looking at your stuff, and if they give us a buy signal, we want to go long for a very nice reversal based on the March 8th turning point. Now, soybeans could go down substantially further from here, and we'll talk about it as we get into tomorrow, but I am planning on going long in soybeans even today, because it's the one day early, to try to get an early start in that. And then if I get stopped out after, like I've talked about so many times on the program, after you throw some of the less expensive things that you have, you know, maybe a small, you know, radio, or maybe an old laptop that you're not using, throw it really hard into a wall, then you sort of plan on repositioning yourself in the market. That's a joke, because I always tell people to not get angry and do that. All right. You should trade as if you didn't just make a trade. That's how you should trade. So I'm just being silly here. But it doesn't seem to work this morning. I'm looking at my watch as the ticking thing, tick after tick. So I'll just continue. So March 8th is the next one. You don't have a laugh track for me. Boy, I'm trying. So soybeans, this is a great setup. And Mike Reed, the thing that I really like about this market is that it moves quickly. It's not very tricky for the most part. It's not very tricky. It's not anywhere near as tricky as the S&P is. And so when it gives these indications, in a sense, it's a little bit more honest about its intentions. And if your own work, I mean, God knows you know the markets, so if you are finding some reason to be a buyer between today and tomorrow, understanding that it's plus or minus a day with regard to March 8th, then we want to go long. Or if people are using Dwayne's indicators and they're starting to turn up, you know, turn up and do what they do to give signals, I'm sorry, and Michael Bork's indicators, then to give credit where credit's due. Then you want to go long. Then you want to go long, and let's make some money.
Yeah, we have using the indicators that the aforementioned indicators are. We would have just had a long hair at 13.
I don't have a bean chart.
I'm sorry. What was that? Go ahead.
1389.
Okay. Well, there you go. So you're already in this, and you could hold this if you were long. You could hold this, and if you know, take a little gain to book a gain, and then hold that remaining position, and if you get stopped out at roughly a break-even, then you can reposition yourself into tomorrow. But this is a really important point that soybeans is at. So just to summarize real quickly again, March 8th, plus or minus a day, important bottom for a 36-cent reversal off that, which will be a really nice trade. Okay, so... Yes, that would be good. And then finally, let's take a look really quick at the euro. And remember the joke, you know, if you open up a really big trading account, euro likely going to lose a lot of that money. If you open up a smaller trading account, euro likely to lose less of that money.
And here to dissect All right. the market, our resident urologist, Mr. David
Right.
Williams.
We're using the word euro as your. It's just a little humor there. Okay, let me move on to
I think they got
euro.
It.
I know they got it, and it's old. I'm telling old material. That's
just
why
in case they didn't.
Mm. We gave a trade to Bert this morning in the euro. This is also a market that seems to respond very well to these types of indications. That it was that the euro should be sold today. That the 140.35 is the top. And that the market should be sold today for a minimum of approximately $1.25 decline off of that high. So we've gone down, you know, decently. We're about down 19 cents on the day here. And this market would normally decline into, again, March 9th or March 10th. So this market should be declining into that date with at least a minimum of $1.25. Movement. You're not going to get all the $1.25, but the $1.25 is worth six. What is that? $1.25 times 50. Second here, whatever that's worth. It's $625 or something. Is that right? Am I doing that right?
$1.25.
Yeah.
That would be 125 cents, right? That's what
yes.
you're talking about.
Yeah.
125 cents times 50. $6,250.
Oh, 60. Is that what it is? 6,250.
To get a whole buck and a half on the soybeans, or a buck and a quarter, right? Does that sound right?
No, not on. Well, we're talking about on the euro right now.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I was back on
That's
the
okay.
soybeans.
So on the euro, is it $625? Is it $625? Mike.
It's $1,250
per tick.
Per tick.
Oops. Sorry.
Yeah, so,
it's $1,250 per tick.
All right, and so the you're talking about a move, David, from 14.035, is that correct?
Well, let's just say a dollar, just to make it even. So if it's a dollar, it's 1,250. If it's a dollar of movement and it's 1,250
$1,250.
Okay, so there's a decent move in there for people. So it's already gone down. I messaged Bert privately this morning, and I do want to mention to people, Bert has been trading. You know, we're starting to give these trades out, even though we do give them out on the show here. Bert gets them earlier. And he will trade them for you if you have an interest in having him just put these trades on. These are longer term, you know, like an overnight or maybe 2-day trade. You can have him put these trades on for you and make some money on the downside. And
hey, Mike Reed, we'll see you on Wednesday. Mike Reed,
Mike Reed leaving?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
Bye, Mike.
Thanks, Mike. We'll see you. Okay.
Okay.
All right. I think
he's already gone. That was great.
He's already gone. So that's, I think that's about it. Right now, we did break to new lows here, and that's good. I'm actually liking seeing that because of the indication we talked about earlier. So today so far has kind of been a trend day down, hasn't it? You know,
it has.
we may end up seeing a test of the 1375, 1301 level if they really want to, you know, put it out there this morning. But let's see how they close this, because how we do here, because they've tested, they're doing the 1307/05. That's our final downside target for today. Under normal conditions, we wouldn't see lower prices than that by any amount. But if they are going to go lower, if it really is a trend day, then we potentially will see a test of the low that was made back on the 1st. Now, I do want to remind people, and this is something that is much longer term than most people trade, but we've been forecasting for quite some time the first quarter of this year being a top, and that likely it would be February that would mark the top inside of that quarter. And so far, we're starting to see some early indications that that's the case. But I would not, just remind you, I would not take the position just yet that this market is done on the upside. Even though it looks very bearish, just like it looks very bullish when it's going up, I would wait a little bit longer for further confirmation before doing something longer term for the bigger, you know, multi-month, multi-quarter move that would take us lower. Right now, this does not do that. This does not break the trend yet. But we are at least getting a reaction in February, a more important reaction, and many of the cycles came together in February. So that's one of the things about understanding multiple time frames and working with them, is that you learn how to go from the larger down, shrinking down to the smaller, and understand how they're connected. The connection is, that's what intelligence is the ability to make connections. So you start building that intelligence that can make connections between larger time frames and smaller time frames. It can be a very, very useful tool. And in our seminar, we're going to talk about that, because that's a very important part of following the market and being able to trade it effectively. So for those of you who may only trade, you know, a lot of new people in the markets, they want to trade on 1 minute charts only or 5 minute charts, that's not going to take you very far, in my opinion. Now, there are probably very good traders that can do it on just one time frame, but there's so much more information. Why would you not want that information? And it's not noise, it's very good information that you can put together by understanding the implication of time frames and what the market's doing on different time frames. So yeah, so we're breaking down here, Dwayne. This, we're likely going to see the retest of that or lower, and so it's been a trend day down here, no doubt, so far.
Do you have any comments on gold today?
It's expensive.
Yes, it is.
Now let me go take a look.
And shiny.
I don't think we have anything just yet on gold. Yeah. Nothing really. Let me just double check. Nope, I don't have anything on gold yet that I can give out as a trade.
We hit almost 1446 overnight, and now we've traded intraday down to 1428 and change.
Yeah, no, it's been a beautiful move. I don't have any actual setup for a trade. I mean, I think a short trade might be interesting, and there's probably a place to do it. But I don't have something literal to give out on gold just yet. So, but I think the best setup that's leaning in our direction right now is the soybeans right now for between today and tomorrow. So,
very good.
The one that we talked about earlier.
Okay.
So, anyway. Dwayne, unless you have any other questions for me, or
no,
unless you want me to just be silly on your radio program,
quiet,
I'm pretty good at
quiet
that.
Monday, not a lot of questions today.
So. Okay. I hope somebody in the audience is taking advantage of some of these setups, because I think, you know, they're pretty easy to put together. You know, if you have perhaps your indicators or their own indicators to help them, you know, get into a trade. So.
Anybody else, any questions? Anybody got any questions on anything?
There's no questions.
Going twice. All right.
Well, there you are.
For a room full of people, you guys are mighty quiet. Oh, crude. You got anything on crude?
Oh, let me take a quick look. We didn't talk about that.
Oh, and
we'll
take one question at a time. First, crude.
Let's see here. I probably don't, but I do have a nice little selection of markets to choose from now, don't I? Yeah, crude. Yeah, nope, nothing on crude today.
Okay, where's your stop at on the soybean trade?
Well, we're not in the soybean trade yet. Really, the on-time date is March 8th, and then we would put a trade together. I think as a general rule, you don't have to risk, worst case, more than 5 cents on soybeans. That's $250 per contract. In many cases, you can risk two or three. We've done that many, many times in our trades. But as a general rule, depending on your skill set, I guess, and your ability to find a level that you can get in at that's reasonable, you can very easily not risk more than 5 cents. Remember, we're talking about picking up perhaps 30 cents in gains, maybe 25 cents. And although I don't press this, the risk-reward ratio is pretty good if you're risking 5 cents and you're making 25 cents in soybeans. So I don't have these specific numbers yet. We haven't issued a trade yet because we're in the one day early, but we may issue one today based on the fact that it is one day early, and quite often that can be the day that the turn actually occurs and you have to be in already to get it. So I hope that answers the question. But when we talk about it tomorrow, you know, we do have, for your listeners, we do have a free trial of Soybean Messenger. They can take it for a full week for no charge. We don't offer that to the public. Our Russell product, which is just basically a support and resistance product, is going to go away. And I know it's not a big deal because a lot of people we don't have a large number of people on that. I mean, we may have, you know, 10 or 15 people that use that product, and we don't want to take it away from them, but that's going to be replaced by something else in the near future. So S&P soybeans, and then perhaps something else will be, because, you know, the markets are moving, and there's a lot of other really good trades in these other markets, like soybeans and crude and things like that. So
and Iris wanted to know, how much is gas in Las Vegas?
I think, you know, it's funny, I asked you, but I don't think I've really looked at the pump and seen what the price is. I'm assuming, because the car that I have, it requires the 91, so I'm always buying 91, so I'm paying whatever the most expensive gas is, but I don't really think we're at $4 yet for that. I don't think we're at $4 a gallon yet for super unleaded.
Okay.
So I'm just not sure. Where is Iris from, and what's her gasoline cost?
I believe Iris is here in Phoenix.
Oh, okay.
I could be wrong. Wayne, he just purchased some in Connecticut this morning at $4.09 a gallon.
Okay, that is that probably 91? Is that probably the high?
Is that premium, Wayne? No, I'm sorry. Iris is in Oregon, and Wayne did buy. Wait, Iris is paying $3.92 in Oregon. Wayne's
okay.
Paying $4.09 in Connecticut.
Okay. Wow. Well, it's going up. The electric cars are coming. The Chevy Volt, which is a clever inversion, so to speak, on the electric car, because the batteries run the car all the time, and the motor is just there to charge the batteries, as opposed to switching back and forth between battery and motor to drive the wheels. The Volt, for the most part, it has a bunch of different modes it can go into, and one of the modes, the motor actually will drive the wheels. But for the most part, the batteries are always, the motor, the electric motor is what's always driving you, and the engine, the actual gasoline motor, is being used to charge the batteries, which is different than how the Prius works. And both of the Prius and the Chevy Volt will allow you to drive forever without any anxiety about your range and things like that. The Nissan Leaf has come out. That's the electric car. It's a pure electric.
Pure electric.
Probably
yeah.
Does probably 75 miles in a day. And if you don't have to have, you know, if you have a small range that you can drive every day, it's perfect for people that can do that. It's not good for long trips yet because we don't have charging stations and things like that. But it sure is tempting to never have to deal with gas. In fact, somebody that works with me here is just, his next car is completely going to be pure electric. He's getting off of gasoline altogether. So you can't blame people. You know, they want to. You know, gas has had its day, and we've all been down that road. And the more electric cars get bought, the more that technology is going to get advanced, and we'll all be zipping around in little neat little electric cars.
Iris says that in 1960, there was an electric car built by Renault that was used in Eugene, Oregon, by the electric company.
Well, that's interesting. There's been electric golf carts, electric, you know, people may not know this, but trains operate on electricity. The majority of the trains, even right. way back, they did. Because what they're doing is the driven wheels actually have electric motors that are turning those wheels, and that electricity is being generated by the coal and everything else they're burning. So a lot of people don't know that trains are really, in many cases, motivated, even older ones, significantly older ones, by electric power.
Speaking of the Renault, the Renault Alliance, you know, Motor Trend Car of the Year back in, I forget, whatever year it was, I bought two of them, one for myself, one for my wife, and those were, without a doubt, the most horrible vehicles I ever owned, ever, ever, ever.
Yeah, I believe that. And, Duane, I had a Renault LeCar. My then-girlfriend and I, we bought two. I had a gold one, and she had a red one. And just want to.
Mine was white with a red interior, and my wife's was gold.
But the Renault LeCar was really cute. For those of you who are old enough to remember it, it was a really cute car. You'd be zipping down the highway in it, and
we really were separated at birth. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
I know. That is really amazing. Anyway, so yeah, that was my first sort of new car back then, and they were kind of fun. You know, they had a neat little thing about them, and they zipped along pretty good. But Renault has had its issues. And by the way, Fiat, I mean, I know we're not talking about cars too much here, but Fiat is coming back to America. And they have a little car called the Fiat 500 or Fiat something. And they're trying to make a new stab into the American market. And so those little European cars, they haven't done well out here. Because Americans like things differently. And I don't know, they just don't get what we like. And I guess we don't get what they like. So, I don't know. Anyway, so, well, Duane, listen, that's basically what we have for today. The market is pressing lower here. This is a really, obviously, a very important event here. And we'll see how the fifth hour plays out.
There's a question on that fifth hour. David's looking for a low in the fifth hour. What upside move is he projecting from this bottom?
Well, back at that, for the one that we're talking about, only a six-point move, a very small but tradable move, minimum of anyway of 6 points. And I do want to say that if the market were to, you know, if we start breaking down below 1300, you know, it could still work. If we went to 1299, 1298, I could still live with that, I suppose, for the reversal there. That's about it. And other than that, I might step aside for that because the trend down would be too powerful at that point, and I might want to not mess with that. But under more normal conditions, that's what we'd be looking for.
Okay, but I think what his question is how high do you, what's the upside projection from that bottom?
I'm saying 6 points.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Right.
That's what I'm saying. 6 points off that low.
Next time I ask you a question, I'll listen to you answer it. I'm sorry.
Okay. Oh, no, that's fine. And then, you know, if we do, just for other sakes today, if we do get down to testing, you know, 99 or 98, that's a pretty important level. And to be honest with you, that's the natural level that they should have touched back on the 1st. Not should have, but that's the natural level back on the 1st. They got to 1,375, came within a point plus of it. But
we do have that as a weekly zone.
Yeah, if we get down there for today, that's very important. And I would definitely look to trade against that. So we'll see how that plays out. And other than that, Duane, we've got the soybean trade, we have the S&P, and the euro. Those
okay,
are three
somebody,
good trades that are...
I'm sorry, David.
Please.
Somebody's one of your clients. They want to know if you'll be issuing a roadmap for this fifth-hour low.
We probably will.
Okay.
We probably will.
Okay.
Yeah. It's not 100% that we're going to, but we probably will.
Okay.
So it's not the biggest roadmap. You know as well as I do, Duane, normally roadmaps are much bigger than, you know, 6 points. So that's a pretty small deal. So we probably will either trade off of it or issue it as a roadmap, one or
okay.
the other, or both.
Very good.
So, well, Duane, thanks for being your Artemis Gordon to my James West. And I'll plan on seeing you and
Any
Bert.
Luck with the suit?
I'm sorry?
Any luck with the suit yet?
The suits.
You were going to inquire?
No, I haven't purchased the suit yet. No.
But have you made any official inquiries? Or?
the James West suit. I haven't asked about it yet from them, but I sure love seeing it on that thing, and it's, it's really interesting. It is a great piece of memorabilia. I mean, it's a big thing to me. It really is. It means a lot. That show really has a lot of, I don't know if it has $9,000 worth for his suit, but you know what? That's a piece of memorabilia that goes on forever. You know, so maybe it's worth it.
I don't even remember the webpage I showed it to you on. Were they estimating its value, or was it actually for sale on that page?
I thought I saw that it was I think they were estimating its value between $7,000 and $9,000. I don't know if that meant it was for sale for that, or
maybe
you're
it was
right,
going up to maybe, going up for auction or something.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, that could run up. I mean, you get a bunch of people like me and a few others that really like Wild Wild West there, and it just could be crazy. You know, we'd be mowing lawns on the weekends just to, you know, get the money.
Gotcha.
So,
all right.
Anyway, so Dwayne, I think that's it for today. So let's we'll try to trade the remainder of the session here with these, and I appreciate being on the program as always, and I'll plan on seeing you tomorrow.
Sounds great. And thanks so much. Okay.
Thank you guys for the questions as well.
Right.
Talk to you then.
Bye bye, Dan.
Okay. Bye bye.
All right, friends, that's going to wrap it up for today's edition. Unless somebody's got a final last minute question, I don't know what this is. Friday afternoon, over coffee. We didn't have this chart. We're wondering what's going to happen. If we'd had this chart, we might have had a little better idea. But anyway, we ran from the 1310 to 1326. And now we've dropped 23 points. We're waiting for dynamic support. I'll leave this chart running. You don't have to stare at it because it'll print on the hour. It's going to print when it prints. It'll print on the hour. Okay. Let's see. On the YM, did we ever make it? Yes, we did. Okay. That was a big thing that I wanted to see. I wanted to see the YM complete the move down to this zone to kind of confirm that the ES had made it down to the next zone, but now the ES is looking to challenge this zone, it appears. So yeah, that's a pretty steep drop right there. We'll leave this chart up. For those of you who have not taken a free trial, you are welcome to do so. CFRN.net/apply or ChristianTraders.com. The radio does stream 24/7 now, so as soon as we close out this show, we'll be going back to our regularly scheduled programming, and we'll pick up with the program that was in progress when we began today's live broadcast. Thanks so much for tuning in. Whoever you are, wherever you are, may God continue to richly bless you with His mercy and with His grace. I'll see you at the bell.
Remember this, there is no greater return on investment than to see a human life changed and given hope. As always, pray hard and trade safe. Any financial information discussed on this show is simply the opinion of our host, Pastor Dwayne Reeves, and his guests. This information should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Always do your own due diligence and consult with a licensed security broker or financial planner before making any investment decisions. You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.